supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Let's celebrate this final full week of summer on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, I have my watch set. How much more summer do we get to enjoy?
Summer comes to an end, actually, next Saturday night at 9:54 p.m., so we get the whole day, in effect. That Saturday, we're just about at the 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. It's not exactly on that day due to vagaries in the Earth's orbit around the sun. The actual day when we have 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness is Wednesday following next Saturday.
What precisely then happens at 9:54 p.m. next Saturday?
Well, it's not as if a curtain suddenly comes down. No, it is the point at which the rotational axis of the Earth allows us to actually have this 12 hours of day and 12 hours of darkness. So we have to think of the Earth's rotational axis, Dave, as having this constant 23.5-degree tilt away from vertical. And as the Earth rotates around the sun, that presents different portions of the surface of the Earth to the sun. So at the extremes, of course, you have winter and summer, but halfway in between is where we get these portions of the extremes. So that's how we end up with the 12 hours of day and 12 hours of dark right around this time.
With clear night skies, let's take up how the moon presents itself to us.
Right. So one of the very cool things about lunar observing are these really easy types of observations that a viewer can do that really tell an awful lot about the moon without any astronomical equipment or instrumentation of any sort. And in this case, in particular, it turns out this week coming is a really good week for that because the moon reaches first quarter tomorrow. And then we're off and running for the development of the phase toward full toward the end of the week. So this is a great time to look for this. You'll be immediately able to identify the bright white portions of the surface of the moon, and then the darker, sort of grayer, more subdued portions of the surface of the moon. So the bright white portions of the moon are what are called the lunar highlands, the mountainous regions of the moon that have existed as they are for the longest period of time, undisturbed or unaltered. But those other regions that we see, those vast, wide, smooth, planar regions that we see that are darker than the rest of the moon, those are areas that have been much more recently disturbed. They are areas of the moon that, after having been struck by meteorite or asteroid, the molten material created from the energy of the impact has filled in the crater. And we can see the extent of those craters, but that smooth, dark region we see is actually the basaltic lava of the lunar surface that has risen up to fill that crater. Therefore, you can easily say the dark regions of the moon that you see are younger than the lighter portions of the moon. So right away, you have a relative age difference that you can see just with your naked eye.
Compared to Earth, though, there is no region on Earth that is as static as even the newer regions on the moon.
Oh, no. The Earth is very much a highly geologically dynamic place. And so, in fact, our planet is the most geologically active place of any in the solar system, preceding one other planet.
Planet, you say?
Sort of planet.
Well, perhaps.
There's a great degree of debate about whether this object is or is not a planet. And of course, we're talking about Pluto. One of the results that has come out of the New Horizons data collection during the flyby just a couple of years ago is that it turns out that Pluto is more dynamically active, more geologically active than any other object in the solar system other than Earth. It's amazing what Pluto actually has there that makes it stand out so much. This location has a multi-layered atmosphere, an interior ocean, organic compounds, and evidence of ancient lakes, and it has multiple moons. Far more dynamic than any other object in our solar system.
Is the debate around the status of Pluto settled or not?
It's nowhere near settled, and the reason why is not because of Pluto itself, but because of the overall need to develop a real definition for what planets are like. If we look at the IAU definition, International Astronomical Union definition of planet that comes from 2006, what we see is something that describes more of the object's motion in the solar system, the dynamics of the orbit itself, as opposed to actually defining what the thing is, the planet in this case. If we look at Pluto, what we find is that complex as we now see it to be, it certainly should be defined as a planet because it has the same kind of formation characteristics as all of the other planets do.
Hey, does Pluto get a say in the discussion?
Well, they should have a say in the discussion, absolutely. As I always say, the Plutonians don't care what we think about this. We have to keep in mind that nature forces us to constantly reconsider our descriptions of objects, including planets, until they are consistent with what the universe shows us.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk. Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. You can hear more of our conversation at whyy.org/news.